Bow with me, please. Dear Heavenly Father, just thank you. Thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for this time. Thank you for this day. Thank you for the men and women who are here. Thank you for the children who are here, dear Heavenly Father. And thank you for this opportunity to share, to give out the good news of Jesus Christ. Lord, I just pray that with all that's within me and with all that I have, that hearts will be challenged, minds will be changed, and souls will be saved, and you will be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it all. Amen. Today, we'll be coming out of the book of Exodus. We're continuing our messages on the Ten Commandments. Continuing our message on the Ten Commandments, which is very, very needful because there's a lot of misunderstanding about the Ten Commandments. And I heard a preacher say just last week, and I thought this was so good. He said, the Bible is so simple and so plain, you need help to mess it up. A child can understand the gospel. But sometimes we as adults, we want to make everything a little bit deeper. And it's not that deep, y'all. The gospel is not that deep. He's God, I'm not. It's not that deep. Once you get that straight, you're on the right path. We will be coming from, turn your Bibles, the book of Exodus. Today's message will be from verses 7 through 12. And it reads, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and all that is in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the seventh day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, doers, and hearers of his word. Amen. We'll be talking about the Ten Commandments. This is a test. The Ten Commandments, this is a test. And the reason I emphasize that is because there's so much misunderstanding about the Ten Commandments. There's so many people who teach and so many people who have been taught from various sources that by some way, shape, or form, keeping the Ten Commandments or attempting to keep the Ten Commandments will get you saved, will bring you justification in the sight of God. That's just not what the Bible teaches. If you turn your Bibles to Galatians chapter 3, verses 24 through 26, and you say, well, if it's not for me to be saved, then what good is the Ten Commandments? And if you turn to Galatians 3, 24, it gives you the reason for the Ten Commandments. It reads, wherefore the law, that's the Ten Commandments, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Amen, amen. There's nothing wrong, and there never has been anything wrong with the Ten Commandments. The problem is with the people to whom the Ten Commandments were given. But think about this. Just think about this. When God put it in us to want to know who he is, to seek him out. He put it in us. He put that hunger inside of mankind. Well, the problem is I can't reach God because, number one, he's holy. And I'm separated from him. So I can't reach God. So doesn't it just make sense that God would come and speak to us to tell us what is right, what is wrong, what is holy, what is not holy. And that's what the Ten Commandments are all about, y'all. God took his people, his chosen people, and he gave the Ten Commandments. And when you read the scripture starting in chapter 20, Exodus chapter 20, verse 1, you'll see it was given to the Jews. Now, in principle, it's very applicable to us, but it was not given to the Gentiles. We were not given the Ten Commandments. We were not given the temple system. We were not given the priesthood. That was all given to the Jews. The Bible tells us that it's to them, the Old Testament is to them, but it's for us, that we might be able to learn from the principles and application. But as I read there in Galatians for you, if you're going to be saved, not only if we're going to be saved, but if the Jews are going to be saved, anybody going to be saved, you're going to be saved by faith in Jesus Christ and faith alone. You can go ahead, you can keep trying to keep the Ten Commandments, and you can ignore the gift. You can ignore the cross if you so desire and try to do all those Ten Commandments. Just keep yourself a nice little list, and you will find yourself wore out, tired, in hell because you missed Jesus. Jesus is that free gift of salvation. He paid mightily. We get the benefit of the free offer. This is a test. It's a test. The Ten Commandments, all the commands are a test to those of us who read it so that we will understand what holiness is and what we aren't. And when you see these things, and by the way, don't forget, because every once in a while, we delude ourselves and we say, well, I got that one right. You know, I'm on with that one. But then you got nine others that you miss. And the Bible says if you miss one, if you're trying to live by the law, if you miss one, therein you have missed them all. Let's go to chapter 20, verse 7. We're going to start with the third commandment today. We're going to do the third, the fourth, and the fifth commandments today. Exodus chapter 20, verse 7. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Let's talk about what's in a name. What's in a name? I was going to have my AV guy do some extra stuff, but I figured, I'm going to leave this to you guys. When it comes down to branding, everybody here, there's a lot of people here who are starting their own businesses and stuff like that. And the first thing they tell you is you got to get a brand. You got to get a brand name. When you see one of those giant check marks on athletic equipment, what do you think about? Nike. Now, you recognize the brand. When you go and you're looking for a computer and you see a little Apple, you recognize the brand. Everybody knows when they see a Lexus. Even people who can't afford one. Even those of us who can't afford one. We know a Lexus when we see that brand. We know from the time I was this big, I knew what a Cadillac brand looked like. Because all the men at the church, all the big deacons and the pastors, and they would come up and we had a term, we called it, they'd be Cadillacing. And I knew what a Cadillac, what the symbol was. And the power of those brand names. I saw one the other day. You ladies, help me out. Is it Brahmin or it's a Brahmin or a Coach? Is that those cheap purses? Yeah, those the ones that you get down at the Five and Dime. You know that brand when you see it. When I first moved down here to Texas, I'm a Yankee, and I came down here, and I always liked cowboy boots, even though I'm a Yankee. I didn't know till I got down here that there was women who could look at your boots and tell you what kind of boots you had on. And I went, what? They said, those are Lucchese's right there. I said, Luke, what? Because of the brand. People recognize brands. You know what's sad? Churches competing for brands. I thought we had a brand. I thought it was the cross. I thought the cross on the church was enough for a brand. But churches are competing for brands. Why is that brand? Why is that name? Why do people sue people for knockoffs? Why do people go down, you know, when you're going down the street and you see a Coach or a Brahmin or whatever those things, you see one for $5.99. I didn't say $599. I said $5.99. And you see one, and you immediately know, are you pretty sure? That's a knockoff. People get sued for infringing on people's brand. Because what you do when you make knockoffs and you pass out fake stuff, you infringe upon the quality that they have set up with their name. Guess what? God says, my name is special. My name is above every name. And according to the Ten Commandments, I don't want you using my name, cheapening my brand. I don't want you doing that in vain. In the King James Bible, the way it's translated, it really expresses two things. One is the actual using of God's name, just using it. Who has not heard today? You can't hear a teenager speak without, oh my. And then they just throw God's name out there. I work construction. Usually the only time I hear Jesus' name on my construction site is it's attached to something not good. You think God's happy with that? God said, don't take my name and just use it. It just cheapen my name. In the Old Testament, turn your Bibles to Leviticus 24:11. I'm going to show you how serious God is about maintaining his name. He doesn't want you to put his name with any kind of epitaph whatsoever, because his name is holy. The Jewish people, when they would write it, because it was all vowel points, when they would write it, they wouldn't say it. They'd just say the name, because they were so fearful of getting it wrong and saying something that might offend God. They just say the name. And now you're going to see why. Here in Leviticus 24:11-16, and it reads, this is an occasion that took place, and they're talking about punishing someone. And the Israelitish woman's son blasphemed the name of the Lord and cursed. And they brought him unto Moses, and his mother's name was Shelomith, the daughter of Debri of the tribe of Dan. They put him in ward that the mind of the Lord might be showed them. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, bring him forth that has cursed without the camp, and let all that heard him lay their hands upon his head, and let all the congregation stone him. And thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel, saying, whosoever curseth his God shall bear his sin. And he that blasphemeth the name of the Lord, he shall surely be put to death. And all the congregation shall certainly stone him, as well as the stranger, as he that is born in the land, when he blasphemeth the name of the Lord, shall be put to death. Y'all, was God serious? Is God serious? See, and as life goes on and as the church moves forward, and as we learn about grace and we learn about mercy, we forget the principles of holiness. We forget that God is serious about holiness. Now, if you use God's name in vain today, nobody's going to stone you. Nobody's going to stone you. But it ought to do something to you. I know for years I would hear guys, you know, they would say God, and then they put something on the end of it out on the job site. And as a Christian, but as a closet Christian, I know y'all ain't like that. Y'all can't relate to that. But, you know, I was one of them guys. I pretend like I didn't hear it. I just, you know, they just say whatever they want to say and yuck it up. And I pretend like I didn't hear it. And then one day the Lord said, you better stand up. You better speak up. You better speak up. But who wants to be disliked? Who wants to be ostracized from the guys? I mean, can't you just be a regular, normal guy? Can't you just go along and get along with something? Well, if you got the Holy Ghost in you, the answer is no. And so I had to start taking a stand. I'm encouraging y'all. You got to take a stand for Jesus. If you name the name of Christ, you got the Holy Spirit in you. Because when you hear that word, it cuts through you like a knife. Every time you hear it, if you're watching TV, I can't watch TV. You can't hardly go to a movie. And don't you think for 1 minute that those words, God's name, the one that they pick out real good, don't you think for 1 minute it's not scripted in there? It's not a, oops, oh, by the way, we just happened to oversee that. That cuts through you like a knife when you hear God's name blaspheme, and it should. And you should never give anybody a dime, a penny, who's going to take your Savior's name and drag it through the muck and mire and call it art. Something's got to stop you. So at some point, you got to say, that's enough. That's enough. Because every time you give them a little bit more money, you know what they do? Just for those of us who are over 21, just think back. It used to be one or two, maybe you might hear God's name every now and again, every once in a blue moon. But now, and that was at the movies. But now, TV, and that's what you hear. Bam, bam, bam. We need to check ourselves out. Because every time we watch that stuff, we're giving them more money to blaspheme our God that much more. It's a business, y'all. Business folks respond real good to lack of money. But you know what? I know. They're sitting in the back room and they're banking on the fact that God's people will still come. Oh, they'll fuss and they'll kick up their heels for a little bit. And they'll say, that was awful the way they did Jesus. That was awful what they said about. And then they'll still come. At some point in time, church, you got to ask yourself, how much longer am I going to support? This says, thou shalt not take the Lord thy God's name in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. When he says he will not hold him guiltless, I believe that what that's teaching us very clearly is that you and I and everybody else around us may think it's no big deal. We're under grace. We're under mercy. You know, ain't nobody going to take you. I'm pretty sure nobody's going to take you out to the edge of town and stone you. I'm pretty sure. We're under grace. We're under mercy. But God says, We may think little of it. But he says, I will not hold him guiltless. Who does this with my name? Who takes my name? Who smears my name? Who blasphemes my name? Church, we take this principle and we put it into our life. Understand, it's part of our maturing process. It's one thing for us to sit and watch this show and that show, and it doesn't bother us. But as we mature in the Lord, as we understand more that this is a real battle, this is a real battle, this is a real spiritual warfare, and you and I are the targets. The heart and the mind of God's people. You're the targets. I was discussing with one of the sisters yesterday about C.S. Lewis, the book Screwtape Letters. Any of y'all familiar with Screwtape Letters? Okay, Screwtape Letters. Screwtape Letters is a novel. It's a fictional book about the devil. And it's kind of from the devil's point of view as to how he deals with God's people. And one of the lines that just stuck in my head when I read it, he said, convince them they got time. Convince them that God's not really serious about this book. Just convince them they got time. And then that way, he can go ahead, and the Bible talks about the wiles of Satan. That way he can go ahead unhindered because God's people are busy watching Days of Our Lives. Does The Edge of Night come on in? I'm dating myself. The Edge of Night. Any number of crazy shows. And most of them are designed to just, they're not horrible shows. They really aren't horrible shows. But it's just enough to reel you in and keep you coming back. And then as the years go by, they just put a little bit more against God, a little bit more, until next thing you know, you're there sitting there in agreement with the heathens, saying, hey, this is good. We are not to take the Lord's name in vain, because that leads us to a New Testament passage. Because God's serious about his name. And our New Testament passage that shows us that, if you get used to using God's name in vain, when you get to Acts 4:12, where you really want to know what's in the name, in Acts 4:12, it reads, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. God's name is important. We got to get to the point to where we revere God's name. And I'm not preaching and teaching legalism, because I told you, nobody's going to take you out down the street and stone you. But God said, if you love me, would you keep my commands? If you love me. It's when you come by faith through Jesus Christ, it changes from a law thing to what the Bible says. The Bible says under the law of Moses, people were punished and killed without mercy. Old boy blasphemed God's name. They drug him out to the edge of town and killed him. But see, that was a law thing. You and I, church, understand, we got a love thing. We got a relation thing. We got a grace thing. We got, if you love me, keep my commands. Let's move on. Verses 8 through 11. Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 through 11. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath and hallowed it. Amen. A day to remember. A day to remember. Oftentimes, when we recall things, and I don't know about you, but it's not all the time, not 100% of the time, but when we recall things, if it's something, when we say, I'll never forget that, usually it's something negative. Man, I'll never forget that time that me and my brothers got busted by the police. I'll never forget that time that my cousin ran out of gas. Now, I say to y'all, and you fill in the blank, I'll never forget, and it's something negative. But on the flip side, if it's something nice and something good, we say, I'll always remember. I'll always remember that day at Antioch Baptist Church when I looked across the way, when I was supposed to be paying attention to the pastor, and I saw my wife to be. I didn't know what she did, and I looked at her, and I always remember that day because I went, wow, something fond. I'll always remember. We say, man, I went to my 40th class reunion. Man, I'll always remember that one. We had a blast. Look what God says about remember the Sabbath day. He doesn't say, never forget. He says, look at it as something beautiful. Remember. Remember what I did for you. Always remember. The Sabbath was made for men. Men were not made for the Sabbath. Always remember, God said, Jesus says, I will give you rest. Oh, Lord. How many of us are heavy laden? Got stuff going through your mind right now that you can't shake. You got a son, you got a daughter, they're just out there. You got a job that's driving you crazy. You don't have a job, it's driving you crazy. You can't rest because your mind is always going, 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 buzzing, buzzing, buzzing. And God says, rest. Jesus says, by faith, because you know Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath. He says, by faith, he says, I will give you rest. Turn your Bibles to Exodus 16. Exodus 16. Exodus 16, verses 26 through 30. This is God, this is prior to the Ten Commandments. This is just God instructing. And by the way, when you hear the word law in the Old Testament, it literally means instructions. But usually when we hear the law, it connotes some very bad, bad stuff in our heads, but it's just instructions, y'all. It's instructions. Exodus 16, 26 through 30. And it reads, 6 days, and they're talking about the picking up the manna. God was giving the children of manna out in the wilderness. Manna means, what is it? 6 days ye shall gather it, but on the seventh day, which is the Sabbath, in it there shall be none. And it came to pass that there went out some of the people on the seventh day for to gather, and they found none. And the Lord said unto Moses, how long refuse ye to keep my commandments and my laws? See, for that the Lord hath given you the Sabbath. That's, by the way, the word Sabbath means rest after labor. Rest after labor. He goes, see for this, verse 29, see for that the Lord hath given you the Sabbath. Therefore, he giveth you on the sixth day the bread of 2 days. Abide ye every man in his place. Let no man go out of his place on the seventh day. So the people rested on the seventh day. Let me give you a really good principle on this particular passage of scripture. There are many of us who feel like, man, if I just work 7 days a week, I get ahead. Yeah, you know, I'm not able to make my bills. I'm not able to make. I run out of money before I run out of month. It's just not happening. So maybe if I kick in an overtime or a triple time, or if I work two or three jobs and work 7 days a week, maybe I can pull it all together. Here's a principle for you. Read it. God said they went out on the seventh day. And they came back empty. See, God, when you trust him, when we get to the point where we trust God, he will show you with less how to do more. When you purpose in your heart to seek him, not seek some financial goal, and I'm not talking about you, you do have to plan stuff out, but we got a purpose in our heart to seek him. And when we do, he will show you. He will prove himself, just like he did with the children of Israel. He said, I'm doing this to prove to you that I'm God. I'm your supplier. He says, okay, so go out on 7 days. Go ahead and work. Go ahead and work. Watch your car break down. Watch your plumbing go out. Watch your rent get raised. He said, I told you. Or as my daddy used to say to me, I told you as good as I could speak, boy. And we just ain't listening. We just refuse to listen. The principle is, God says we are to labor. We are to work. He says, but because of my love, see, you working for the man. The man don't give you a break. The man, we had to have a labor revolution in our country to keep people from working children to death. Tell me man ain't cruel. Man is cruel. Man never has enough money. Never has enough money. God is the one who stepped in and said, wait a minute, y'all. That's enough. Get some rest. When it comes down to finances, when it comes down to turmoil in your life, one of my instructors over at Southern Bible, I'll always remember. His son was strung out on drugs. He was a pastor, and his son was strung out on drugs. And he told the class, he said, y'all, he said, me and my wife, every night, we're out in the streets, searching here, searching there, trying to find him. You know, it's your son, you love him. And sometimes they get wayward, but you love them. No matter how crazy they get, you love them. They're just your child. And he said, we go out, me and my wife, and he said, we're searching high, we're searching low, especially on Friday and Saturday nights, because you know he's going to find some place to get into trouble. We know that. And he looked at us, and he said, you know what? He said, last week I told my wife, I'm not going to do it. He said, I'm not going back out there. I'm not going back out there looking for him. He said, because you see, God never sleeps or slumbers. He said, but I need some rest. He said, I got to get me some sleep. And he turned it over to the Lord. Well, good news is, God delivered his son. It wasn't right away, but he delivered his son. But you and I, we're finite, y'all. You only have parents. You only have so much energy. You only have so much energy. God says, take it to the Lord in prayer. Marriage problems, take it to the Lord in prayer. Children problems, take it to the Lord in prayer. You teenagers, as I look around, school problems, educational problems, you know, your grades are not where they need to be to get to where, take it to the Lord in prayer. Start with that. Remember the Sabbath. Take one solid day, not just to do nothing, but to serve God, to recollect and remember. Even at the young age, some of our kids are, just remember, think about what God has done for you, how he has brought you through some situations. And y'all, don't ever sell little kids cheap, because some of these kids, they have dealt with some stuff that you and I have never, ever, ever had to deal with, ever. We have kindergarten kids. We have first grade kids who, for the first time in our nation, they're going to school and they're being taught that there's no problem with a man and a man getting married, or so-called married. There's no problem with having two mommies. No problem. I never even had to think of that until I was a grown man. But now, not only do they have to think about it, they are being indoctrinated with it as truth. Pray for them. Pray for them. And teach them. Teach them what is truth. Thy word, O Lord, is truth. You don't go out trying to look for homosexual people to beat them up. But you do go look for them to give them the gospel. You got them in your family? I got them in my family. You got them in your circle of work? I have them in my circle of work. You know what? You don't have to convince anybody. You don't have to convince anybody of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But we are commanded to tell them. And that, my brothers and sisters, is where we are falling woefully short as Christians. Because we like being liked. We don't like being ostracized. But don't you know, God just might use you as the catalyst to save somebody from hell. Don't you know that, church? So here's your option. Here's your option. Either we go along and get along and watch as people parade, proudly parade, on their way to hell, if you believe the Bible, or we have to get some chutzpah in us and stand. And in love, talk to those folks and let them know that Jesus says, I give you a way out. I've paid the penalty, and I'll give you, there is a way out. Be willing to take the heat, saints. Be willing to take the ire. Be willing to take the hard looks and the foul language that may come your way. But that they might be saved, let us purpose in our heart. Lord, you give me the strength. If you tell me to go talk to them, I'm going to talk to them. Let us purpose in our heart to serve God in that manner. We have to talk on the Sabbath a little bit more, because there's so much misunderstanding about the teaching of the Sabbath. You have entire denominations based on this Sabbath teaching. I'm not questioning their salvation, y'all. It's an issue of bad doctrine. It's bad doctrine. I'm trying to figure out how so many people get confused on this issue of the Sabbath. First off, remember, when you read in Exodus chapter 20, this is to the people that God brought out of Egypt. That's the Jews. That's not the Gentiles. It is to them. The Sabbath is to them to continuously remind them of what God has done for them, to point them to Christ. But for the church of Jesus Christ, how Christians get so confused about the Sabbath is... It's amazing. Turn your Bibles to Colossians. Turn your Bibles to Colossians. Chapter 2. verses 16 and 17. Colossians chapter 2, verses 16 and 17. And it reads, and listen real good, because again, there's a major teaching. I watched a man on TV last week. He was a preacher, and he was telling people, you need to really understand how to serve the Sabbath. You don't serve the Sabbath. You serve the Lord of the Sabbath. Verses 16 and 17. Let no man, therefore, judge you in meat or drink or in respect of a holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is Christ. We don't worship the Sabbath. Picture this. Nice, bright, shiny, sunshiny day. I come home. My wife runs out. I know. I'm stretching. She runs out. You know, like and she runs down the stairs out in the front lawn. And the sun is shining brightly. And here's my wife. And there's her shadow. And she says, hi, Will. And I say, hi, baby. And I run past her and I embrace her shadow. Come on, man. You crazy? I want the real thing. The Sabbath is a shadow of things to come. And the real thing to come is the Lord of the Sabbath, Jesus Christ. That's who we embrace. And if somebody wants to worship on the Sabbath, the Bible tells you very clearly, that's okay. You go ahead. If you want to make some people are doctors, lawyers, because of their work schedule, say they just can't come to church on Sundays. They just can't. The Bible says, work 6 days and take a day to rest, restore, and remember what God has done for you. So if you go to church on the Sabbath, no problem. More power to you. But don't you dare tell anybody they got to go to church on Saturday. That's unbiblical. That's called bad doctrine. I don't even tell you you got to go to church on Sundays. It's not there. It's not there. Because then you become a slave to a day, a place. And you're not a slave to that teaching. You're not. Don't be taken in by bad doctrine. It's not a heaven or hell issue. It's a maturing in the faith issue. And if you get sideways on what the Sabbath is all about and who the Sabbath is all about, you'll find yourself sideways and not being able to mature, to grow, which the Bible commands us to do. He says, grow in the grace and knowledge and understanding of Jesus Christ. So that's why when you read, remember the Sabbath. Understand what it's for. Understand who it points to. Jesus, that name above all other names. Let's move on. We talked about what's in a name. We talked about a day to remember. Now, let's talk about learning to give honor. Learning to give honor. Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the earth, which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Amen. Honor thy father and thy mother. Let me start by saying this. Before I knew who God was, I knew who Lewis H. Milbury was. That was my father. See, and as a baby, as a child, parents listen real good. When you talk to children, fathers, you represent God in the flesh. Long before they have made an opinion about God, they know Daddy. That's one of the reasons why we're having such a difficult time with Daddy's not being in the house. And that's one of the reasons why we're having such a difficult time with Daddy's being in the house and being no good. Because Daddies, we are given an awesome responsibility and an awesome accountability. He says, honor thy father and thy mother. Children, if Daddy's not around, guess what? Mama. Mama's the head. And that's just the way it is. And he says, give them honor. When it says give them honor, that means to prize them, to fix a value on them, to understand that they are valuable, they are precious, they are truly, truly a gift from God. And I got another thing for children who mama and daddy are both somewhere else. God has placed some guardians in your life. God has placed some aunties, some uncles. Guess what? God has placed some strangers in your life. And he says you need to honor them too, because God has given them a heart to love you and to care for you and to take care of you. Give them honor. Fix some value. And God says he's testing. He's proving us. He's using all these things to prove us, to point us to the fact that we need a Savior, to point us to him, to make us want to do better. And the only way we can do better and do the only way we can do right is we need a mediator. We need a Savior. We need Jesus to bring us along. The Bible tells us that parental relationship is like no other relationship there is. It's very, 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 very important, because that's where all the nurturing takes place, brothers and sisters. And people say, well, Pastor, but you don't know my parents. You don't know my mama, and you don't know my daddy. My mama was this, and my daddy was that. If you're still here to talk to me about it, they wasn't that bad. They may not have done what they were supposed to do, but you're still here to talk about it? And don't you forget for one minute, when you disrespect them, you disrespect the one who gave them to you. See, it goes a little bit deeper than just mama didn't talk right to me. Mama didn't tuck me in right at night. And I'm not even going to make light of the fact that some of the stuff that's taking place in families, some of the stuff is horrible. But if you're still here, if you're still here, God says you honor them. You give them honor, because God, ultimately, it's God. In the Garden of Eden, when God said to Adam, he says, Adam, where are you? Why'd you do that? Why did you eat of the fruit? When I told you not to eat of the fruit, why did you do that? And Adam stood up like a man and said, because of this woman you gave me. It's the same principle. You sitting there handcuffed in front of the judge. No, handcuffed like this. Yeah, behind. Why'd you go rob that store? Why'd you go beat that? Because I was born on the poor side of town. Nobody loves me. Everybody's against me. I'm a disadvantaged child. Shut up. Just shut up. Because God is there for anybody and everybody who wants to call upon the name of the Lord. Does he or does he not say, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You need to tell him. I need to tell him. Tell somebody, if you believe that Jesus Christ came, he died, and he rose from the dead paying for your sins, tell them that they might be saved. Because you can give, when my wife and I used to volunteer for PTA and stuff like this and stuff when our kids were in school, every year they came out with some new program that was going to fix the kids. What was that one? Ponzi? Pumice? Every year. Every year, some new somebody that sat back in this think tank and they said, okay, first thing, we start with this. A, B, C, anybody but Christ, okay? Can't give them Christ. Can't give them Christ. So now what do we come up with? Oh, we're going to give them some Muppets. Oh, we're going to give them some of this. And we're going to come up with something that's going to make them act right. If you don't change their hearts, you have done nothing. And that starts with parents. Parents, train your children. Train your children. Because if they will not listen to you, I tell you, they ain't going to listen to nobody. You hear me? If your children will not listen to you, it is so sad when people call the police on their own children. And it happens all the time. Call the police on their own children and something dreadful happens. And then they blame the police. That was your child. Why'd you call the police? And then when he got there, something horrible happened. If you love your children, you'll discipline them. I didn't say beat them half to death. I said discipline them. And you will teach them to honor their father and their mother. Even if one parent is not in the house, you still teach them to honor their father and their mother. They have to learn how to honor their father and their mother. Let me take you to the scriptures. Go over to Deuteronomy. Go over to Deuteronomy chapter 21, verses 18 through 21. Deuteronomy chapter 21, verses 18 through 21. Show you how serious God is about this. And again, don't forget, under the law of Moses, by witness of two or three, you were killed. 18. If a man have a stubborn and rebellious son, which will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and that when they have chastened him, will not hearken unto them. Don't forget, he says, you've chastened them now. Don't gloss over that. God said, you first. You tried to correct them. You tried to talk to them. And he goes, and after you have chastened them, and they still won't listen to you, then shall his father and his mother lay hold on him and bring him out unto the elders of his city and unto the gate of his place. And they shall say unto the elders of his city, this our son is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. So that lets you know it's not a little child. We're talking about somebody who's at least a teenager or a grown man. He's a glutton and a drunkard. And the Bible says, and all the men of his city shall stone him with stones that he die. So shalt thou put evil away from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear. You see how serious God is about this, about training up our children? How serious God is about parents actually parenting? He does not give that role to the government, y'all. That's not the government's role to parent. It's our job to parent. And it's our job to chasten and to encourage. Don't forget, we got to encourage as well. And this is not a little child, but and God says it's an evil. Have you seen little kids back talking their mama and their daddy in the store? Man, the first time I saw that outside of my house when I was a kid, I'll never forget. Oh, Lord. We're in a place called People's Drugstore. I grew up in Akron, Ohio. We were in People's Drugstore. And I'm standing there, and I'm Lewis and Evelyn's child. And when my parents say it's time to go, you already late, okay? And this little boy was, me and him standing there reading comic books. We look in the comic books. And his mama said, come on, let's go. And he's reading his comic books. And she said, come on, let's go. I'm looking, I'm like, boy, this is foreign to me. I've never seen this before. And she reached for him. He said, I'm reading. And I ducked. I ran for cover. Because I just knew this boy's going to get blasted. And then she started pleading with him. I went, oh, my goodness. She started pleading with him. God said, this is an evil. God said, this is an evil. And he says, we got to put this evil away from among our people before everybody else starts thinking this is normal. We teach over here at the school. I'm here to tell you, it's an evil. Kids talk, because if they're going to talk back to mom and daddy, they're going to talk back to teachers, they're going to talk back to police, they're going to talk back to judges, they're going to talk back to everybody. And you know what? We have our children being gunned down in the streets, not by police, by other children who have never been taught to respect authority. And it starts with honor your father and your mother. In Ephesians 6, 1 through 4. Because of that principle, the principle that we see in the Old Testament is played out in the New Testament in Ephesians 6, 1 through 4. And it goes like this. It is two parts. Part one is, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Y'all kids, y'all listening to this? Listen to your mom and your daddy. Your mom and daddy aren't going to tell you something evil to do because God is commanding them to take care of you. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. In the Old Testament, when he says your days might be long, he's talking to the Jewish community. He's saying that your days might be long in the land. Okay, so that's when you see it in Exodus, it's talking to the Jewish community, saying that your days might be long in the land. But when he brings it forward to this same principle to the Gentile community, he's saying, look what he says, which is the first commandment with promise, verse 3, that it may be well with thee and thou mayest live long on the earth. To the Jews, he's talking about the land that I put you in. To us, he's saying, honor your father and your mother. Because by honoring them, you are honoring God. He says, honor them that your days may be long on the earth. Children, God, that's a beautiful promise. That's a beautiful promise for being obedient, for doing what you're supposed to do. But then there's a conjunction there. In verse 4, there's a conjunction. And that conjunction says, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. He says, fathers, we got a lot of absent fathers, y'all. We got to work on that. That's going to take a work. But he says, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition. That means shape their world. Shape, you know, there's a thing about holistic health and holistic teaching, and we think that's something new. Hey, oh, he's a holistic doctor. Well, he's supposed to be. He's supposed to look at your whole body. It's holistic. He says, fathers, be holistic about your children. Be interested not just in your children, you know, not just rah, rah, rah on the football field, not just go, go, go in the soccer field. But you know what? You need to get them up in the morning and take them to church. You don't send them to church on the bus. You don't send them to church with mama. He says, fathers, provoke not your children. That means don't be a grief and an aggravation to your children. I know it's fun. And we don't get a whole lot of entertainment. And my kids used to get upset with me because I ain't get a whole lot of entertainment. I told you, didn't watch movies, didn't watch TV. So what's more fun than messing with your kids? Okay, stop. But he says, don't provoke them to anger. Don't do things to purposely upset them. But teach them and nurture them. And that also includes correcting them. Don't let somebody else always have to be the person correcting your child. And then you get an attitude about it. Don't do that. Mothers and fathers, correct your children. If you love them, you'll correct them. The Bible says, don't tell me you love your children and you don't correct them. That's not love, but that's a popular teaching. But that's not love. We talked about what's in the name, a day to remember, and learning to give honor. All those principles are good and true. When Moses gave them in the Ten Commandments, they're all good and true. But don't forget, when God gave the Ten Commandments, with every precept and with every law, Moses came right behind and he had to sprinkle the blood. Because I told you, you can't be saved by the Ten Commandments. You could try as you want to. You can't be saved by the Ten Commandments. So God commanded Moses. He said, once you give them these precepts, these things that are going to let them know how holy I am and how unholy they are, he goes, you got to sprinkle some blood. There's got to be some blood to cover their sins. Because I'm a holy God. I'm a holy God. And that's why, and I love you enough to give you these commands so you'll understand I'm a holy God. And Moses took the hyssop and he sprinkled the blood to sanctify everything, because the scripture tells you that most everything is sanctified, is cleansed by the blood. Okay, that's good. That's wonderful. And that's for the children of Israel. They had a temple. They had an altar. They had a priesthood. And Moses sprinkled the blood. But what about you? What about you? You got a temple? You got a priesthood, you got some hyssop. We don't even know what hyssop is. What about you? What covers your sins? What covers my sins? Because when I read these commandments, I know for a fact I am woefully short. I got good news for you. I got good news for you. When you look to the scriptures, when you look into the New Testament, you hear a voice crying in the wilderness. And that voice says, behold, the Lamb of God, the Lamb of God. He don't cover up my sins. He takes away my sins. How good is God, y'all? He shows you how nasty you are. He shows you how holy he is. And then he says, but since you can't reach me, I got to come to you. Behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world, and he gives in return, in exchange, the free gift, the rest from your labor, salvation. And it's because there's no other name given by which you can be saved. He says, you can't keep these 10. I just gave you 3 today. You can't keep them. I can't keep them. He says, so when that good news is presented to you, all you who are heavy laden, come to me. When Jesus says, come to me, I'll give you rest. I want you to come. I want you to come. I close with, this is a test. And I hope you understand, you flunked the first part. But you can ace this test by receiving Jesus Christ. God bless you. God keep you. Would you come?